This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com. And welcome to the July 16th edition of Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. I hope you're having a great summer, or the summer that we're being presented with. There's been a lot of rain, but now we're getting into some heat. But it's nice heat. It's good. The winemakers, the farmers right now, they need some heat because the vines are trying to catch up. They're not near as far along as normally they would be. We'll talk about that over the next couple of weeks, actually. One of the events that I'm going to attend on your behalf is August 4th. At Brentwood School in Mill Bay. It's literally, I can see parts of the building out my window. And the winemakers of the Cowichan Valley will be pouring there, the winers and owners, frankly. And we're going to talk to Lauren Inglis, who's the general manager at Enrico, just down the road from me. The scary thing is he's going to speak on behalf of everyone. And I'm going to head over there and have a talk to him. He's going to kick off the show. And then Nathan Todd, who's the president and general manager of Foxtrot Winery on the Naramata Bench. He, along with his partner, Douglas Barzelay, who, of course, is one of the great names in wine, bought the winery from the Allender family. They then hired a consultant, the wonderful Veronique Drouin. Foxtrot is known for his Pinot Noir, but they're expanding that portfolio now. And that we're going to talk about that expansion with Nathan Todd, the president and GM of Foxtrot Winery, Naramata Bench. And we finish with, just down the road, actually, Wilbert and Yoka Boren, co-founders and co-owners of Four Shadows, an upper bench. And they've been winning their share of awards lately. We thought we'd go back and touch base with them. So, Enrico Winery, Foxtrot, Four Shadows, on this edition of Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. I figure if I'm going to get some information on the Cowichan Valley and their August Festival of Wines, Wine Festival, whatever they're going to call it, and the kickoff for August the 4th, I'd better get to Enrico mid-July and get the story, because things go crazy in the Cowichan Valley in July and August. They really do. Lauren Inglis is the general manager of Enrico Winery, and we're here. Literally, we thought we had a table, and people are now staring at the table. They want this table that we're talking, and then a rainstorm's going to come on. How busy is it?
It's extremely busy. Yeah, this has turned out to be the beginning of a busy year for us, which is good because it's definitely not looking that way in the vines. But inside here, it's extremely good.
You need some heat.
We need lots of heat at this point because, as you know, what we lost at the beginning, we can never recoup.
Have you seen a weather pattern like this before?
1990 would have been the last one.
And what was the wine like that year?
It actually didn't get made in 1990. This is a very trying year, there's no doubt about it. It's going to push a lot of people to their limits to see if they're able.
Sun's coming,
but again.
Okay, in the meantime, we have to have a party.
We have to have a party, and that's why we're going to have a big party in August.
Wait a minute, we just had a party.
Yeah, let's...
What happened? I mean, because we did have open house for people coming by.
Yeah, we did. What we did this year with the wine festival, we broke it up into two sections. The first section in June, of course, which was a passport project, and then August, which is just wine month for the Cowichan Valley. More than likely, it's going to go back to the original format next year.
You think?
I can guarantee you it will be going back to the original format, but we still have all of August to enjoy, and we hope that we can get a lot of people out to enjoy it.
I think the best thing of all is that kickoff August 4th.
August 4th kickoff is going to be fantastic. It's at Brentwood College School. It's going to be catered by Brentwood. We've got live music by Roland Barrett. We've got all the participating wineries are going to be there, and the nice thing is They are going to be poured by, or all the wines are going to be poured by winemakers and owners. So that's the great part about
That's
it.
What you want.
That's exactly
so
what
So you can
want.
Ask them about their wines.
You can talk to them, and no one's going to know better than them. So they're the best people to talk to.
Lauren Inglis is the general manager of Enrico Winery. Is this on the grand lawn that I see when I go by Brentwood?
Well, probably, yes, it is. Yeah, I was going to say view from your house, no doubt. But no, it's definitely it's on the nice lawn that's there, yes.
So it's August 4th, my sister's birthday, 7 to 10. How much? What's the bank?
Tickets are $100. That includes...
Are there any left?
There's a minimal amount left. So you can go onto Cowichan Valley Wineries, onto our website and check it there, or Tourism Cowichan has them as well. You can get the information from Cowichan.
And what does it include?
It includes... you're going to have three tastings from all of the different wineries that are participating. We are going to have, like I said, all the food's going to be catered. It's just going to be meat and cheese platters, but high-end meat and cheese platters from the school. And then, of course, the live music, which is, it's just going to be a really relaxing evening, an opportunity to try all the different wines.
You know, there's nothing better than high-end meat.
I agree with that. And high-end cheese, of course.
All right, so August 4th, and then the, and then we go back to the familiar format in August in the Cowichan of every winery has something going on and pouring something special for the month.
Exactly, and that's what the best way to find out what everybody's doing and what everybody's pouring is to go onto their websites for all the different participating wineries. But it's there's going to be so many different things happening. So yes, check out all the wineries. Make sure that you do or do not need reservations, which is super important to find out. But yeah, by all means, go to as many as you can in that a whole month of August.
Do we have a head count of how many wineries?
We're going to say that there's going to be 11 or 12. There's one that's on the fence, but
there's going to be. Do you want me to go talk to them?
I would wish. I hope you would.
Well, I'm seeing. You got Bluegrass, you got Cherry Point, you got Damale, Diol, Alvo Creek, Alderley, Emmendaer, Zanatta, Venturi Schulze, Unsworth, Enrico.
Yep.
I don't. Well, I wrote Rocky Creek, but it didn't quite.
Rocky Creek is. They're probably going to end up coming and being involved in it. So I would say that yes, they will be there.
It's a good lineup. Do you know what they're pouring?
I know what some of them are pouring. Not all of them, because I think some people are keeping it a little bit quiet. But we can start out with Zanatta, one of the oldest wineries in the entire valley, or the oldest. They're doing their Damasco, the Rosé, and their Fantasia. Three amazing wines from an amazing winemaker. Jim over there is one of the absolute best. Unsworth is doing their Sunnydale Rosé, which is really, really interesting. Their 20 Chardonnay and their 2020 Pinot Noir as well. Us at Enrico, we're going to be doing our Coronet, which is a very, very unique white wine, relatively new to the world. Ortega, of course, because it's our number one winning wine every year, and then our Pinot Noir as well. So I think there's going to be quite a few different Pinot Noirs poured in this whole thing. Blue Grouse, they're going to be doing the Quill Pinot Noir, the Quill Rosé, and they are going to be doing their Ortega as well. Okay. So, yeah.
It's a good pour, and I like the fact that the winemakers and the principals are there.
Yeah, you know, honestly, when you do an event like this, I think it's the most important way to have it. It's because people are going to have lots of questions, and there's no one that can answer those questions better.
How do we find information?
Cowichan Valley Wineries, go on the website, or the Cowichan Valley Tour, or Cowichan Tourism has information on it as well. Or you can phone any of the wineries and they'll be happy to give you the information.
Have a nice August.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Lauren Inglis, General Manager, Enrico Winery. I'll give you all the websites. Just go to the website, mulliganstew.ca, Tasting Room Radio. You'll see what we're talking about. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a two-year hiatus with a set-price two-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Two new releases to tell you about, the 2021 Rosé and the 2019 Pinot Noir. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. We're on Upper Bench Road. It's a busy road, and there's lots of visitors. Yoka and Wilbert Boren are the owners of Four Shadows. So you arrived 2011, the same year we were getting ready to head back to the coast.
That's right, September of 2011, that's when we actually took possession. Walked around here in the summer of it, just looking for another opportunity. Here we are.
Yoka, was he following his dreams, or could you see yourself making wine here?
I think he was following his dreams, kind of, and quite desperate to have a property for ourselves again. We were living in a rental house in Lacombe, Alberta, with our four sons, and yeah, we were just so ready to have our own property again, like wake up in the morning and have a purpose again instead of being in a rental home and not knowing what to do next.
What was your wine knowledge and experience before you got here?
I was afraid you would ask that question. Next to none.
That's right, zero. We had no experience in growing grapes, or it never crossed our minds that we would start making wine.
And still you came.
Well, you know what? The Okanagan is appealing, and we are farmers, so we wanted to farm. We knew that. So we were not thinking at the time to start a winery. We were going to grow grapes and grow them for other wineries.
We're on Upper Bench Road. Yoka and Wilbert Boren are the owners of Four Shadows. You wanted to go from pigs to Pinot.
You got it right, from swine to wine.
What told you that this was the spot?
That's a deep question.
Terry, we were so ready to start a new adventure again, and we had done an offer on another property on Naramata Bench, a cherry orchard, which fell through, and then Wilbert had seen this property. I hadn't seen it, but he had seen it, and he said, let's just go look at that vineyard property, see what you think of it, and so we did. Mind you, it had been vacant for 3 years.
Yes.
It was not looking that great. But like I said, we were so ready, out of desperation, we were so ready to have a property again. And so we said, let's put an offer in. And so we did, and surprisingly, we ended up getting it. You have said A, now you have to say B. You just got to go for it.
What was planted?
At the time, Zweigelt, Pinot Noir and Merlot for reds. And then we got Riesling, Chardonnay and Pinot Blanc right behind us.
That was already planted?
Everything is planted.
And yeah. What did you add to it?
We added a little bit more Riesling. So that was actually in 2012.
Okay. So 2012, and here we are. People are popping into spaces in your parking lot. You're pouring your wines. Your name is out there. We now know Four Shadows is here and open and ready. Was the journey worth it?
Definitely. Definitely.
If I ask you tomorrow, would...
Again, yes, definitely. It's not always easy.
Yeah.
Sure, it isn't. But look at where we get to live and what we get to do. We both love being outdoors, working with the plants. It's beautiful. The weather, we would do it again. Yeah.
You know, if you know everything, if you know the hardship ahead of time, you wouldn't start nothing.
Of course not.
But if you look back, you know, and you look at the journey, you kind of forget those moments that you sit in bed at night and think, what in the world are we doing here? Because it is tricky at times, right? It is not easy. But you forget those moments, and you just look back now and you look at the journey, and it's actually beautiful.
Who's your winemaker?
So Pascal Madafon
is
our consultant, and I am the actual man that gets the hands.
How long did it take you, and how many times did he throw things at you?
Pascal is... I wish Pascal would throw things at me. Pascal is... very gracious, I guess. But I don't know, he keeps saying, Wilbert, you're a farmer, you get it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what he means with that. Because at times I wonder too, wow, how do we end up with the wines that people are coming for? Yeah, just amazing. And I think it happens in the vineyard. And I know people say that all the time, of course, you know, it happens in the vineyard. But that's the only explanation I can give it.
We're on Upper Bench Road. Yoka and Wilbert Boren are the owners of Four Shadows. The two smartest things you've done in your life is marry Yoka.
Yep, that's true.
And the second thing is hiring Pascal Madafon.
Okay. Yeah, Pascal...
In that order.
Oh. Yeah, what can I add to it? Without Pascal, and I actually have to add a little bit to that. When we started the idea of winemaking, it was Lindsay O'Rourke that I reached out to. I don't want to forget about that for a minute. Actually, Lindsay and Graham both have been detrimental in the success of our vineyard and winery. I think, of course, they took on too much by becoming our consultants. So that's why Pascal took over. Just another set of eyes and a way of looking at things.
Okay, I got to ask you, Yoki, I got to ask you a question. You, I'm sure, are involved very much in the tasting room. What are they liking? What are you finding that people are trending to? What's hot in the tasting room?
Riesling, yes. A lot of them come for a Riesling and a Rosé.
Tell me about the Rosé. How'd you make it?
So Rosé is made from our Merlot, basically 60% of our Merlot and 40% of our Pinot Noir.
Have you got Zweigelt here?
We do have a Zweigelt. We even have a bottle of Zweigelt. But we only made a little bit last fall, and that sold out through the Okanagan Wine Club in just a hurry.
Did you go check with John over in the other field?
No.
No, he's got Schoenberger and Zweigelt, right?
Rose Winery right now, right. Actually, I haven't. No, I you know.
He's a good guy, by the way.
John picks up the meal here right next door, so I say hi to John every once in a while.
Good. He's a good guy. Say hi from me. Yeah.
I will do that.
I still have some of his Zweigelt in my cooler, and it's old. It's an old Zweigelt. Let's go taste. And by the way, you're open now because it's summer and the COVID restrictions are lessened. You're open 7 days a week?
We are 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 6, and on Sundays, 1 to 6.
And what's coming in the fall?
Are you talking new releases?
New releases.
So we will be actually releasing a Merlot Reserve, which we are very excited about. So that's our 2019 reds will be released, and then our Pinot Noir, of course, Merlot Reserve. We might do the Zweigelt. That is still in the barrel. Will be bottled next week, next month. Sorry. Okay. So I want to see first before taste first before I say we're going to release it. But right now it's actually quite exciting, and so we'll probably release it shortly after bottling.
We're on Upper Bench Road. Yoka and Wilbert Boren are the owners of Four Shadows. Let's go taste the Four Shadows. And the Four Shadows, F-O-U-R, Four Shadows, represents their four sons. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a two-year hiatus with a set price two-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Two new releases to tell you about, the 2021 Rosé and the 2019 Pinot Noir. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves, Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. I just got this note from the Artful Dodger, Devlin Barker, at The Hatch. A reminder that The Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com.
We're at Foxtrot. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We have discovered, cornered, nicely, the man I came to talk to, Nathan Todd, president and GM of Foxtrot. Tell me about your earliest connection to the Okanagan.
I came here camping as a kid. It was probably the very earliest thing. And I had aunts and uncles and my grandparents out here. But I really started to sink in as a teenager when my parents bought a place. And I started looking for work in the summers. So before everything turned over to wine, I used to pick cherries for gas and beer money, which was about my only concern.
That's a good life.
At the age of 18 or 19.
That's a good life.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Did girls like guys with stained hands and jeans and things?
They didn't like guys with my attempted facial hair so much, you know? Or maybe the odor of having worked for 5 hours starting at 5, you know, in the cherry orchard.
Did any of that prepare you for this life?
A little bit. It's hard to connect the dots between the two things, because I was sort of living a parallel life after that on the East Coast in New York City, selling wine to fine restaurants and things. And it seemed for a long time like it really had nothing to do with this sort of origin story from Canada. So it was really an amazing opportunity to be able to connect those two parallel paths. When I found Foxtrot wine served to me blind in 2011.
Where?
I was at a gentleman named Rob Kane's house in Vancouver on my way to Hong Kong to sell. I was kind of the cellar rat for a big Burgundy collector at the time. We were selling $10 million worth of Burgundy in Hong Kong. And we just happened to stop there, and he was serving a bunch of great Ravenel and, you know, Rumier wines. And he loves to serve wines blind. And he brought something out with tinfoil all over it. And I was there with my partner, Doug Barsley, who's tasted everything. And he poured the wine for us, and we kind of argued for a little bit, you know, was it Chambon Musigny? Was it Jeffrey Chambertin? And even down to like, okay, well, what vintage? It's like, you know, this is kind of maybe more 2009 because it's full, but it's too elegant for that. And it was Foxtrot.
The tinfoil came off,
and there was the Bear and the Maiden, which we had never seen before. And he said, how the heck is anybody doing this? Because all I knew was, you know, cherries and peaches. And yeah, there was like some things starting to happen, but you know, what did that really have to do with the, you know, fancy aged Burgundy and Bordeaux that I was selling to Per Se in New York? And you know, a light bulb sort of went off in my head and said like, wow, there might be a bridge between these two worlds, you know?
And you may be the bridge?
I guess I'm serving that function right now.
Are.
Yeah. And I'm feeling, you know, definitely spread across two worlds.
Mid-Atlantic man, mid-Pacific man. How did you make your approach? How did the approach happen to Foxtrot?
So I forgot about Foxtrot after coming here to meet them. And I got really excited, and I bought a case of wine from Gustav Allander. And that was the 2006 Foxtrot Estate. And then, you know, the idea kind of went to bed. It was, you know, I stayed in touch with him. I pulled off the same trick in San Francisco, and I tricked a bunch of sommeliers into thinking it was Burgundy. So, and he used some of my comments on the website. But, like, you know, beyond that, like, it was just a nice story. I didn't think much of it until 2016, you know, basically the day after the presidential election, all of a sudden
that day
we had people, I had people saying to me, man, this is crazy. We don't know if the U.S. is actually going to be a stable place to live anymore. Maybe I should move some of my money overseas. And I said, well, you know, it might have something kind of interesting. Like, why don't we go take a look at the Okanagan, which is when I brought Doug out to the Okanagan. We were looking for just a vineyard or a land to convert to a vineyard and you know, hopefully have somebody of like a high caliber make the wine. Remember that Foxtrot wine that we tasted all those years ago? What if we could make something like that? I mean, oh, in our wildest dreams, like we would have bought a piece of property and Foxtrot would make the wine. And that was the extent of it. So after touring the valley, you know, Vernon de Osoyoos, getting the lay of the land for real estate, our realtor says to us, well, you know, we might have a piece of property coming to the land. It's a peach orchard on Naramata Road. But the thing is, there's somebody has a right of first refusal on it. The neighbor. Well, who's the neighbor? Well, it's this old Swedish family, the Allanders. Like, oh, I happen to know them. And I happen to be having dinner with them tonight. I wonder if they'll say anything to me about this. Yeah, you know, they tried to buy it a couple years ago. They couldn't get their hands on it. We know that they would love to plant vines there. Okay. The he didn't mention it to me at that dinner, but Torsten called me the next week when I got back to New York and said, hey, so there's this piece of property. And I was like, bingo. So we spent the several months buying that property and negotiating with them to, you know, we were trying to arrange sort of a fermage agreement the way they would do it in France, where there's either a split between of produce or of bottles of wine at the end of the day in exchange for their farming the land. And then they just totally went silent in the negotiations, and we had to close off the transaction and finalize it ourselves, saying, you know, Foxtrot making the wine would be a really nice idea, but even if it doesn't happen, this is really what we want to do. This is going to be a great investment, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's not going to be very much work at all. Famous last words. It was several months until I heard from them again. And on the day of the solstice, which I think must have been 2017, Torsten emailed me and he said, you know, my wife is terminally ill, and I've been thinking about what to do, and we've decided we want to sell the winery, and would you want to buy it? So, I mean, that was more than I could have ever imagined yes. would have been offered to me, and still a pretty early phase in my career, and have the prospect of, you know, this this kind of storybook estate fall into my lap was amazing. The only problem is I didn't have any money. So
there was that.
Fortunately, we know a lot of people
who
drink great Burgundy, yes. and I don't know if they have any money, but that the two things tend to go hand in hand. Okay. And we had a great you know, story to tell with it. So we got a group of close friends who are all wine drinkers, most of them in the Tastevin in New York, to kind of to back this horse and you know, make a foray into the Okanagan and with it sort of you know, bridge the gap between the Okanagan and not just New York but France as well, because they're all very connected in France. And I've known Véronique Drouin for over a decade, and we were able to bring her in and start yeah. consulting and really bring a piece of the old world
wine smarts
to this as well.
Wine smarts.
Yeah.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves, Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. I just got this note from the Artful Dodger, Devlin Barker, at The Hatch. A reminder that The Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Mooncursor. The gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. We have discovered, cornered nicely, the man I came to talk to, Nathan Todd, president and GM of Foxtrot. I assume that the pitch, normally a pitch is, you know, you pour out your heart. All you had to do was pour out your wine. That's the pitch. This is yeah. where we're going.
Yeah, I suppose so. Okay, so do you want to talk about the wines that we have in front of us?
Yeah,
now?
Absolutely. So, there's two Foxleys.
Yes, there's two.
Foxley is a new label, of course, a new relative.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that was lacking here was, you know, we were really constrained, and we want to be constrained, to just being a Burgundy house, more or less. Using the grape varietals that we think express terroir the best, being Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. But there's a lot more fun to be had out there. And there's a lot of people who would like to experience a piece of Foxtrot without having to pay the same price. So
price point on the bottle?
This is about $24.
How many cases?
This is the 2020. We got about 250 cases of that.
Available?
200.
But I mean, can we find it?
Yeah, find it on my website. Yeah.
Can we find it in the store?
Yeah, you can find this in Save-On Foods and in the Jack's stores.
Well done.
Yeah.
Pinot?
There's about 20% of Pinot Noir in there, and the rest is Pinot Gris.
How long on skins?
This had no time on skins.
Yeah. Like, this is it?
This is it. This is it. This is a Sangier.
Did you talk about color? I just got to tell you, it's astonishing. It's astonishing how many interviews I've done with winemakers who say, I wasn't interested in the color. I was interested in the taste and the texture. And I'm going, but they're buying by color.
They're buying. Well, and I think you're tasting by color, too, honestly. I mean, I think it has just an enormous impact on the way that you think and feel about what you're putting in your mouth. And, you know, I've sat down and done different blends where really the only difference is, you know, the more of a darker varietal, and you perceive what you're shown, you know. It definitely, and that doesn't mean that your palate's wrong. It just means that your perceptions are influenced by what you see there.
And I see in some of the better wine stores that I like, I'm seeing that they're now displaying the rosé on the aluminum racks that you would see in kitchens against the light coming in, so you can actually, like, it's a show of color. And I can't speak for the guys, but the women are buying on color. Even when they ask me, I say, are you buying on color? And they want me to recommend something because they know what I do. And I just say, no, you have to go with what talks to you, what speaks to you.
Yeah, no, and there's no shame in that, you know. It does taste beautiful, like it looks, and you do intone a lot about it from what it looks like.
It also brought out my feminine side, which is a good thing. Nathan Todd is his name. Just remember, Nathan, he's driving this bus at Foxtrot. Tell me about the second one.
So that's our 2019 rosé, which we're showing because that one did spend 24 hours on skin. So it's a bit of a different style. I really like the kind of zip and tannin that is in there. You know, you don't think of rosé as being a tannic drink, but I find that kind of giving it a base makes the wine a lot more interesting.
Do you personally like a Tavel rosé?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Tell me about this beauty.
So this is 99% Pinot Gris, which spent 24 hours on its skin. So really, you could call it orange wine or Vin Gris. And we've added just 1%. Just this one actually had a really beautiful sort of orange-pink hue. The Zweigelt was added just for color because I wanted to sell a rosé. I thought that
Zweigelt.
Yeah,
I love Zweigelt. It's like the ugly duckling of the and I love it. I harvested it down the road here for a while.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, it's just this dark, inky grape varietal, which you know, which blends nicely.
What would you pair with this?
You know, I think that like a smoked salmon, or I was served this with like salmon and sort of jalapeno was like a really awesome thing to go with it. Or
could I do mac and cheese?
I would stay away from
that. If the cheese was right?
Sure. If you've got like a really right, maybe a Gruyere and like, you know.
How about a bocconcini and cheese? No, a bocconcini and tomato croissant.
Okay, I'll accept.
What's the name of that place?
Old Legend that we just.
Yeah, Legend? They should be pouring this. How much did you make? How many cases?
We made 600 of this. This was our first wine that we did with Foxley, and we really dove in.
And price point?
Same. It's about $24.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Nathan Todd at Foxtrot. Now, what about the Pinot?
Foxtrot Pinot?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get
which,
there.
Which You're is good. Like a biblical phrase.
Yeah.
Foxtrot Pinot.
Uh-huh.
Did you feel any pressure taking over those vineyards and that name and that juice?
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of pressure, and we were put up against a lot of challenges almost immediately. I mean, my first week on the job, one of our two blocks of mature producing fruit, not the old estate block, but the younger block, succumbed to a powdery mildew infection. One of the vineyards downhill that had been planted 1 year ago had died completely. And, you know, things were not exactly in place when I got here. So we had some big shoes to fill, and with the amount of time that it takes from grape to glass, that just meant that there's a lot of people I was going to disappoint for a couple of years. And we're finally at a place now where I'm very confident with where we've been able to get to and claw our way back and show people that, you know, we're still a very serious house. And the terroir is still here. And that's what really...
You're going to honor the terroir.
We're going to honor the terroir.
And the legacy.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I loved this story as much as anyone else. I loved it enough to you know, rally people to buy the place. So that's what we want to do, is keep the quality standards where they were. And I think the best way to do that is not to, you know... hide the fact from anybody that we've had some problems, you know, because the bar is very high, and that's what we want to live up to, is a high bar.
You could have bought in Finger Lakes.
Yeah, but who wants to live there? You know, the winters are like in the Finger Lakes.
Okay. All right, well, welcome to the bench. A message, please, to Foxtrot fans who would like some words of assurance that you're going forward with the vision that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. Wait until you taste the estate this year.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you a couple of things.
Yeah.
What you thought winemaking was, and mm-hmm. and the day-to-day of what it is, mm-hmm. a little different?
Yeah, diametrically opposed. I mean, I just saw winemakers in France, you know, like they hang out in the cellar with you for an hour and a half, and then you would, you know, maybe meet them for dinner later that week. And I thought, these guys have a great life. It's, you know, what I didn't realize is that they have like really set that time aside from you, and they're doing like cartwheels to, you know, be in the customer service industry, in a luxury goods industry, at the same time as being farmers. And, you know, I'll never be annoyed again when somebody cancels dinner on me because, like, you know, it rained and they got to go spray.
Yes.
Because that's really what it is. And it's so much more involved. Almost the minute that I became a winemaker, quote unquote, you know, the questions, after having done hundreds and hundreds of cellar visits, were just completely different. It was almost instantaneous. It was like birth. You know, you kind of just had such a vague understanding of what was happening outside, and then when you get there, you know, there's just a whole world of things you don't understand that you need to understand.
Nathan Todd is his name. Go find him if you can. Just remember, Nathan has his hands on the wheel. He's driving this bus at Foxtrot. Thank you for the Foxley, the Foxleys, and thank you for the Pinot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Mooncursor. The gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com.